And amen. You may be seated. And I promise to be brief this morning, but I also promise to pour my heart out as God has shown me from His Word the message for today. And our text for today, which you'll notice on the screen right now, is one of those truths in the Bible that perfectly, succinctly, simply, and clearly summarizes the entire message of the glorious gospel of Christ. It says in 1 John 5 and verse 12, "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." And by the way, the life that John is speaking of here, understand, is eternal life. And how do we know that? Well, because of the verse before and the verse after verse 12. Here's verse 11. "And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life." See? "And this life is in His Son." Well, the verse after our text is verse 13. "These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have," here it is, "eternal life." So yes, this is eternal life, which brings us back again to our main text. 1 John 5, verse 12. And what's it say? "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." Now, folks, I know, I understand, this is a very simple statement by the Apostle John. It's exceedingly simple. But remember, this is the very same John who wrote the fourth gospel, who wrote the first, second, and this, the third epistle of John, plus the book of Revelation. And you know what? There is nothing simple about the book of Revelation. In that book, John wrote a whole lot of things about heaven. He wrote things that are intricate and mind-blowing and deep and incomprehensible. And John says, you know what he says? He says, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth." And what follows that statement are extremely complicated realities about heaven. However, when John writes about how to get to heaven, not about heaven itself, but how to get there, the Holy Spirit inspires him to speak the truth with glorious simplicity. He says, if you have Jesus, you have eternal life. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have heaven. You don't have eternal life. You say, "Pastor Blaylock, it cannot be that simple." Actually, if you read the Bible from cover to cover 1,000 times over, what you'll realize is that it has to be that simple. Let me illustrate it. Christmas, if nothing else, is famous for its lights. Let's go see the Christmas lights and so on. Wednesday night, I left the house there where we live in Alton around 5:45, and on Alton Road, our main road, they have these beautiful, the trees are lined, beautiful white Christmas lights all down the roads, but they weren't on yet. So I just pretended, said, "Come on, man, I want them on." So I pretended to snap my fingers and turn them on. Wouldn't you know, that instant, thousands of lights came on. And it actually startled me. I kind of jumped, and then I started singing, "Hallelujah." It was beautiful. And telling the cars around me, "You're welcome, you're welcome, you're welcome." I got to Donald Ross, and the light turned green. The guy wasn't moving, and I thought, "Don't make me have to snap my fingers." But the light of the world. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world," right at, by the way, the shortest and the darkest period of the year. Yesterday was the shortest, darkest day of the year. The light of Christ is why this season emphasizes those lights. Well, a few days ago, I had to go outside in the darkness, because I needed to clean out the AC drain pipe behind my house. And you've all done that. And to help in the night, I brought my handy little Husky brand 7,000 lumens flashlight. These things are heavy. With or without batteries, they double as a weapon, right? So if you go out in the night and some guy's stalking and jumps out and he wants to stop me from cleaning out my drain pipe, I just can whack him in Jesus' love and name. Amen. So I took my flashlight out and I turned it on. And there was nothing. No life, no light, no power, nothing but a dark, dead head whacker. so to speak. So what did you do, Pastor? Did you figure out how to convert chemical energy into the bulb so as to transform itself into heat, because the completed circuit will allow electrons to flow from the negative terminal to the positive terminal? And did you ponder all of the atoms within the bulb's filament and its diode, and thus produce visual light, which is then reflected and emitted while the lens focuses it to a beam? Actually, all I did was go inside and get one of these. AA batteries. And you know what I found out? I found out that if you put the battery in, you have light. Oops, sorry, is that too bright for you there, brother? Some men love darkness rather than light. There's one right there. And you know what's amazing? I put the battery in and I had light. Say, Pastor, it can't be that simple. Oh yeah, he that hath the battery hath light. And he that hath not the battery, as I found out, hath not light. Let me just tell you something. It's truth, simple as it is. He that hath the Son hath life. Without him you are dead in trespasses and sins. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And you know, that leads to the all-important question. How do you have him? How do you get the Son of God and therefore get eternal life? Well, again, that's why John wrote the verse before our text. 1 John 5:11, here it is again. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Given. In other words, the first and most important truth about the most valuable, important thing in all the universe and in all of eternity, the most important and first truth is, it is a gift. It is a free benefit of God's grace. And of course, John's not alone, obviously. I said you can read it from cover to cover 1,000 times. The Apostle John is not the only one in saying that this is a gift that you must receive. Paul said in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. That's what we earn. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what we didn't earn. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. Romans 5:15, but the free gift and the gift by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, can abound to many. Ephesians 2:8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, what? It is the gift of God. And of course, the familiar verse, there's Christmas season, 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable, what? Gift. Jesus said to that woman at the well, a sinful woman, in John 4, if thou knewest the gift of God, if thou knewest the gift of God, thou wouldest asked of him, and he would have given thee living water springing up into everlasting life. Again, the record is very clear, and it's final. Eternal life, salvation from sin, is a gift of God's grace by the blood sacrifice of God's own Son. So that if you have the Son, you have eternal life. If you don't have the Son, you do not, the Son of God, you do not have eternal life. And if you're wondering, why would God cause the most valuable and the most expensive and indescribable thing in all the universe, why would he cause it to be a gift? Why is it free? Why can it not be earned? And why doesn't everyone therefore receive it? I got to tell you this morning, please hear this. It's very simple. After all, the whole idea of a gift is that you have a giver, you have a gift, and you have a recipient, a benefactor. I want you to think about all the gifts that you've wrapped so far, under a tree or hidden in the closet or whatever, or the ones that you're yet to ripe, maybe yet to even buy. Think about the things that you've received, the things that you have that are actually yours. Because you realize this morning that everything that you have, You got that one of three ways. You either earned it, or you stole it, or someone gave it to you. There is no other way for you to have anything unless you find something, and technically that's not really yours. For instance, today I have on a pair of Johnson & Murphy shoes. Someone gave me, a family in this room bought me these shoes about a year ago. I also have, so that was a gift, I have a comb, which I bought myself with money that I earned from years and years of putting up with Remo Sherrato, amen? I think I just read hundreds of minds this morning who were like, Pastor, why do you have a comb? I'm going to snap my fingers. So one thing was a gift. One thing was earned. Thirdly, who in here has a Bible? Hold up your Bible. Andy has a Bible. All right, Andy, see that Bible? He stole that from my office about 20 minutes ago. Those are the three ways you acquire something. You either receive it as a gift, you earn it, or you steal it. Now let's go back to the Son. He that hath a Son. Let's go back to the eternal life in the Son. The title of this message, by the way, is The Haves and the Have-Nots. So that if you want to possess eternal life, how do you get it? How do you acquire the most valuable and important thing in all the universe? Because, folks, if there's one thing, if there is one thing the Bible makes crystal clear, it is this. Eternal life, the gift of God's Son, is something you can never, ever earn. You can never pay for it. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. You know what mercy is? I got a text this morning from one of our church members, and it said, speed trap on Indiantown Road. I don't know why a church member thinks I need to know that there's a speed trap on Indiantown Road. But I'm thankful. You can back the blue and back the Blaylock at the same time. Amen. So this church member who's sitting behind me right here, raise your hand if you sent me the speed trap notice. Go ahead. All right. Now, my question was, why didn't he send it to me yesterday? Because yesterday, I got pulled over. And the choir was in here, and there were cars in the parking lot. And I'm like, wow, I'm gonna pull up right. So I just, Haney Lane, parking lot. Andy walks by with the teenagers. Hey, Dad, again? No, I'm just kidding. What did I say to that police officer? I want justice, and I want it now. He said, Pastor Blaylock, because I told him who I was, and that's my building right there. And he said, 8 miles more and you would have been criminal. That would have been a great story to tell the teenagers as they walked by. I want justice. No, you know what I wanted from that officer? Because I was guilty. I wanted mercy. You are not going to stand before God and say, I was good, I did this, I did that, I want justice, I'm better than my neighbor. No. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, by grace you are saved, not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's amazing to me, people work an entire lifetime. Think about this. People can work their entire lifetimes oftentimes and still never make enough money to buy a house on this earth, one that they own. As sinners, indebted to a perfect and holy God, how can they think that they can somehow then earn a home in heaven for all of eternity? Look, if I wanted to give away this flashlight as a gift, in fact, I'm going to put a bow on it. There we go. This is a gift. And if I'm going to give this to Andrew over here, Andrew Chung, raise your hand really high. There you go, buddy. All right. Do you need a flashlight or you're going to get one? Because this is going to be a real gift. And let's say it represents salvation. Let's say this morning it represents eternal life. Therefore, this is the most valuable thing in the universe, both now and forever. So, Andrew, how are you going to pay for the most valuable thing, priceless, for this? You know, when Steve Jobs gave his last interview, and of course he looked sickly and he was dying, I think pancreatic cancer. He was a billionaire. And he said, this statement, he said, you know, $500 million. He'd come to kind of bring it all down to this. $500 million couldn't buy me one more day of life. Can I ask you a question? How is it that people think that they can somehow buy eternal life? If you can't buy one day of life on this earth, how are you going to buy with your good works or your religion or your putting money in the offering? How are you ever going to buy eternal life? No, no, no. Jesus is not for sale. Heaven is not for sale. And you could live 1,000 lifetimes doing every good work imaginable. But it would do nothing to remove the sin and the debt of sin that you have and put your name up in heaven forever. I'll say it again. The Bible and the Lord Jesus made it crystal clear. You cannot earn the Son and eternal life. So maybe then, Andrew, you can steal it. Because you can't earn it. You can steal it. I mean, right here in church, in front of all of us, God and everybody, go ahead. And you could use it, I don't know, search around, find a girlfriend. You could do that. It'd be helpful. Is he going to earn it? Nope. Steal it? No. By the way, can I say this? That might sound kind of silly to us, you know, trying to steal heaven from God. But actually, the Lord Jesus addressed that. He said in John 10, verse 1, "Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that entereth in not by the door," and Jesus is the door, "of the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." And the Bible is clear. Thieves do not inherit eternal life. Something that you cannot earn. It is something that you cannot steal. However, it is absolutely something that you can receive if, hear this, if you receive it as a gift. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him," the Son, "as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." This, Andrew, is a gift. And there are only two things you can do with a gift. You can either receive it, or you can reject it. Now, folks, if Andrew tries to steal it, he's rejecting it as a gift. If he tries to pay for it with good deeds and prayers and rituals and money or whatever, then he's rejecting it as a gift. There are only two things that you can do with a gift: either accept it or reject it. Pastor, if it's that simple and that easy, then everyone would just receive the gift and be saved, right? Well, I would agree with that, except for two words in this text. You see, the two words in 1 John 5:12 are the words "the Son." It says, "He that hath the Son." And verse 11 says, "And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in." Here's the other two words: "His Son." Now, wait a minute. Every single text in the Bible that teaches that eternal life is a gift, everyone includes the truth of those two words, "the Son." Romans 6:23, we mentioned a moment ago, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ." That's his Son. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life." Eternal life is. It is the gift of God's Son. And the reason for that is that it is the Son of God who paid for the gift with his own blood on a cross. Just because it's a gift, it doesn't mean it's cheap. This gift cost God everything. But hear this: God became flesh to take your sins upon himself on the cross. He was sinless. But he suffered and died and rose again and always declared that he is the only way to eternal life. I'll say it again. He's the gift. And yes, some people want the gift of eternal life. They do. In fact, I'd say most people in the world who've ever lived want the gift of heaven or of eternal life, but they don't want to accept the Son. But if you don't have the Son, you don't have life. You see, with God, this is personal. It is personal with God when His Son is rejected for whatever reason. Your religion, your good works, your ideas. Again, there are only two things you can do with a gift. You can accept or reject it. And the one thing that God requires for you to accept this gift, the only thing He requires, is for you to do it. That means you have to have faith. You simply need to believe what God says in His Word. And if I take this flashlight and I offer it to Andrew as a gift, what is the only thing that he has to do for it to be his? The only thing. He just has to trust me and reach out and take it. Go find a girlfriend, brother. Receive it. Pastor, it's too simple. Jesus said, except ye become as a little child, ye shall in no wise enter the kingdom of God. What did he mean? Little children have simple faith. They believe what their father says. You believe what the heavenly Father says. Believe that he gave his Son for you. And then you receive that gift by faith. Are you ready this morning to finally receive the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord? Our heads are bowed, please, and our eyes are closed for a moment. There are a lot of folks in this room, just as there are every Sunday morning, with a lot of different needs. God knows all of them, but God knows especially which of you in this room have and have not the Son of God and eternal life. With heads bowed and eyes closed, we're not going to belabor the invitation for any reason, but, and with no one looking, I wonder who might say this morning, Pastor Blaylock, I'm here today, and by the grace of God and His mercy, there was a time that I received eternal life. I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I can attest to that with no one looking. Who can raise your hand through the building as a testimony and a great, thank you, God bless you. There were many in this room that did not and could not honestly raise your hand. But you can in a few minutes from now. If you're here this morning and you'd say, Pastor Blaylock, I'm here today and I don't know for sure. If I were to die, I'd be in heaven. I don't know for certain that my name is written in heaven, but I want to know it. Can I just tell you something? God wants you to be saved. He wants you to receive this gift of eternal life more than you do. If the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart right now and saying, yes, yes, what He's speaking from the Word of God is true. The Bible is true. There are certain things the Bible says about this truth. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us are sinners. The wages of that sin is death or hell. The wages of sin is death. And the Bible goes on to say, but the gift of God, there it is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. With heads bowed and eyes closed and no one looking around, who would say, Pastor Blaylock, you know what, that's me. This morning, as best I can, I would love to receive in my heart. I'm not going to come to you, I'm not going to embarrass you, but I want to pray. Just pray for you. God bless you, I see your hand. Some hands are already going up. God bless you, young lady, I see yours. Who would say that with heads bowed? Would you raise your hand? Say, yes, that's me. I want to accept Christ. God bless you, sir. Who joined this dear lady? Thank you. God bless you. Let's stand together, shall we? We're going to bow our heads, close our eyes. The instrument's going to play a hymn of invitation. We'll probably sing a verse or two as well. But while the instruments play at this moment, if you're here today and you're not sure about salvation, now some of you raised your hands a moment ago and many of you obviously did not. Those of you watching by live stream as well, if you're here today and you're not sure, right now, in your pew, best as you can. You know, I was 12 years old. I didn't know how to pray. I just got on my bedside, not having been faithful to church, hearing the gospel, and I said, Lord, I'm a sinner. I don't know what this means, but I want to be saved right now. That's what I prayed, and right there, God saved me. My life was changed. I received eternal life. I received God's Son. Right there in your pew, with your head bowed and your eyes closed, receive the gift. Pray it. Say, Lord Jesus, I'm lost. I'm a sinner and I know it. But I understand now that salvation, eternal life, is a gift. And I understand, Lord Jesus, as a sinner, you died for my sins, and I accept you right now into my heart, into my life. Pray a prayer like that. Mean it sincerely. A prayer doesn't save anyone. Faith does. But you can demonstrate that faith by reaching out. We're going to sing a couple of words of Have Thine Own Way, a couple of verses as we sing. Andy's here at the front. We'd love to speak with you. Say, Pastor Lalek, I'm not sure if I understand it all. Come on, come forward. We'll take the Bible. How you can be sure. Others of you who are saved, pray for your loved ones. Maybe you should kneel at this altar and pray for those who have not yet received the gift of eternal life. As we sing, you come. Brother Terry.